Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello and welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Today on the show, Thoroughbred Code Development Manager Simon Stout, trainer Adam Trender, fresh from preparing four winners at Devonport on Sunday, and Tas Racing journalist Peter Staples will be along with his selections for Sunday's big card in Launceston. In harness racing, Kevin Nielsen, the Code Development Manager, will join us. Jamie Cockshutt coming off a super weekend of tipping for us from last week. And in greyhound racing, Greg Fay will be along to look at the week that was and add another winner to the Black Book. Last week's winner, Despicable Lee, jumping in at $9.90. And the guru himself, Rick Puccinelli, will be steering us on to more winners in the coming week. And a reminder of our quiz, where you can win the ultimate punter's experience in Tassie. Prize includes airfares, accommodation, car hire, dining at a thoroughbred harness or greyhound meeting, plus expert tips from your tour host. And that's all thanks to Tas Racing and our accommodation partners, Rest Point in Hobart and Country Club Villas in Launceston. So stay with us for more details on how to enter. And if you're looking for the edge on Tasmanian racing, this is the place to be. And the place to go is tasracing.com.au.
They're racing
now on Tas Racing Talk. Time to talk thoroughbreds.
Tasmanian Training Premiership currently sits with David and Scott Brunton at the top of the table. Adam Trender, with four winners from Sunday, has moved into second spot, and Barry Campbell third. Adam Trender's taking time out of a busy day to join us today on Tas Racing Talk. Must have been a great day for you on Sunday, Adam.
Fantastic day, Shane. Really, really proud of the team and the horses. We had a big team go to the races, so they needed to perform, but we had 10 there that all ran in the first three, so really satisfying.
Well, you've got to be happy with that. Now, the first of those winners was the two-year-old Valiant Warrior, won by 7.5 lengths first up. Great performance.
Yeah, always been a nice little horse, but been a work in progress. We obviously, that was the first time we've exposed him, and it's late in his two-year-old year, but he's obviously taking all the right steps. He's probably 6 months away, to be honest with you. But he's heading in the right direction. He's quite an easy little horse to work with, and he's got natural talent.
Now, he was the second favourite. Scouting around was heavily backed into odds on favouritism, but just went to the front and just never looked likely to be headed.
Yeah, we trialled him up twice. His first trial, I just let him poke around behind them. He only beat one runner home, still on the bridle, and then gave him another little trial and just sent him forward in the trial. He won that and won that quite easily without coming off the bridle either. So I effectively just did the Dharma, give him a dig out, put him up on the speed and try and make as good a thing of him as we can, which thankfully it transpired. He half stepped slow away, but was very quick to muster.
Well, Lake Fergus was the second of your winners, a Savoir Vivre Lake Julia performer. It's only had the two starts, ran down the track both times. Its last run was behind Soundbar back in December of last year, one of your other stable mates there. And it was a good performance by Lake Fergus this time, first up from a spell.
Really progressive horse. Well, if I can manage to get him out to a mile and a quarter, we'll see quite a talented horse here. He's a big, imposing sort of fella. He's got a stayer's heart rate and a stayer's lactate, but unfortunately he's got a sprinter's mentality. His last run there, when he ran behind Soundbar, Craig Newitt rode him for us, and he gave him a really good report after, but he just wrestled him the whole race, had to get him to come back and settle, and sort of he didn't let him off the bridle until he did relax underneath him. So he effectively just went six evens home too and worked the line pretty well. But he's still a work in progress, but if I can get him out over a journey, I'm pretty hopeful of him. I'm probably 12 months away from doing it, but he's got a lot of raw, untapped talent.
Well, sounds very promising indeed. Your next winner was up in class, but dropped down in weight, Willow the Wisp, and it was well supported in the benchmark 78.
He's a brave little horse, got nothing but admiration for him. He's had 21 starts now, and he fought home a check on 19 occasions. One of those other runs was a fifth, and he has had one unplaced start for his career, but you wouldn't give $400 to look at him. He's just plain bay, tall, narrow, but by geez, he's a trier. I've got nothing but admiration with him. He got back to last at the 600 off a hot tempo, but rallied late with a lightweight, and he just keeps stepping up to the plate and pleasing.
Soundbar, the last of your four winners, heavily backed into favouritism, $2.10. Won 3 out of 6, a written tycoon youngster. It looks very promising.
Taking a long time to get going. I'm starting to sound like a bit of a broken record here. He's had a lot of idiosyncrasies. He goes around to the barriers and loads up first. He won't walk into the barriers with any other horses there. He's quite shy of other horses. So I was really pleased with his run there because he got back to third and he had a couple of bumps in front of him and a slight gap come at the top of the running, and Bullant was quite aggressive on him to get him to go into the gap. He sort of half shirked the task for half a stride, but then got in there and got going. So I was pleased with the way he went about things. He's starting to learn. He was at the 7 furlongs for the first time, and a 3-year-old carrying top weight against open age horses. But although we're at the end of the season, I think that bodes quite well. I'd be very surprised if we couldn't sneak in through his grades and hopefully find a better class race for him in days to come.
Well, it was a tremendous weekend for you last weekend. What's this weekend hold for the stable?
Yeah, it's got reasonably competitive chances, to be honest with you, Shane. So I'm probably looking to back my two-year-olds up, Valiant Warrior and Anytime Soon, running the same event Sunday Gone, unplaced. Just keen to take them to Launceston and give them a look, and I'll put them out after that just so that they have the opportunity to have a look around there and before the three-year-old cup. So Valiant Warrior, he's come through his run really well. He didn't have a lot of stress involved. He only won the down out of his stable, raced and sort of had an easy run as we saw, and he was back home 20 minutes after his race, so he'll be more the competitive. Anytime Soon will be a big improver. Got a big staying maiden in the first, a horse by the name of Letters. He ran second out here in a 9-furlong maiden, just got beat a half length. He's very dour with not a lot of tempo change, so the 2100 will suit him. He'll bowl along up on the speed and gets his opportunity. And we go down to Sundisk in the 0-78 mile. He come back to form with a second down at Hobart there a fortnight ago on soft ground, which is what he needs. He'll get that again on Sunday, so he should be pretty competitive. And Sienna Sydney in the benchmark 68-1200. She's a terribly honest little mare, lacks a bit of talent, but she tries hard, and she's probably found the right type of event as well. So. Luck in running, they're all reasonably even chances.
Well, it sounds like you could be in for another big weekend, Adam, and congratulations on last week and your performance. This will be your best season to date?
Best season to date, yeah. The weekend actually ticked us over to 101 winners for our training careers and the 3 seasons that I've been training. So, yeah, we broke the 100 mark, which I'm very, very proud of, but always looking to improve.
Well, of course, the Trindon name's a famous name in Tasmanian racing, and whilst you're forging your own career, I'm sure you are well aware of the tradition that you're carrying on.
Oh, exactly right, exactly right. Sort of that's came with me, fortunately, sort of throughout my riding career. Sort of, and I've gained a lot of opportunities, no doubt, through my name. Sort of, my grandfather and father both command a lot of respect within the industry. So it's been nothing but a blessing for me. But thankfully, I'm doing the name proud at the moment.
And it must have been a thrill for you to win the Len Dixon Memorial at the weekend.
Exactly right, yeah. I used to ride a little bit of work for Mr. Dixon when I was an apprentice, and he had a few race day rides for him. I actually rode Old Halfius a few times, one of his better horses. But no, that was great. Sort of, yeah, it's good to be able to win these races in memory of people that you've got respect for, but also people that you had personal dealings with.
All right, Adam, thanks for your time again today, and good luck at the weekend.
Pleasure. Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
Thoroughbred Racing's development manager Simon Stout joins us now on Taz Racing Talk. How are you, Simon?
Terrific, Shane. Lovely to be here again.
Yeah, we've got a big 9-event card coming up in Launceston on Sunday, the first at 11:40, last at 4:36. What have we got to look forward to on the day?
It looks a really competitive program. We've divided a maiden, there's 2 full fields there, and we'll see some nice horses go around. A good recent form from horses like Valiant Warrior and Van Diemen's Fire, Triple B. They're all recent winners that are looking to hold their form again this time around.
Now, Stride Master and Race Replay is just 2 of the products where punters can get the edge on Tassie Racing by visiting tasracing.com.au. What have we learned from the last couple of weeks and that we can put into practice for Sunday?
Well, certainly last week we highlighted that Adam Trinder's horses were starting to find a bit of form, and once they found form, they hold form, and were 4 winners on the day. He certainly started with a bang. Soundbar was good enough, was one that we found that was good enough to win, and he certainly held his form well there. But note out of the program, just looking at the data, was how competitive the two-year-old race was. Even though Valiant Warrior won by quite a space in 7.5 lengths, there was four horses behind him that broke 36 for their last 600. Now, comparatively to the Open Maiden on the day, where only the winner, Little Bit of Dutch, broke 36, to have a field of two-year-olds relatively inexperienced and have five of them break 36 means that I think we can say with confidence we can follow that form going forward. And horses like Meteor Strike, who, if you go to the video, he was a massive run for Mark Anderton, missed the kick, made up a stack of ground and finished really hard. He and Visha and even Miss May Ho, they all made good ground, even though they mightn't have troubled the winner, but the sectionals tell us that there's some genuine ability there, and I think going forward that race will throw up a few winners in the coming months. And another highlight on the program was the win of Genuine Lad. He actually broke the track record for the 1880, and that was previously held by the Devonport Cup winner, who broke it about the same time last year, so in a relatively similar race. So he's one to follow going forward, certainly at Devonport. I know Bill Ryan's got a good opinion of him as a potential stayer. And he in breaking the track record, that was despite the fact that he wanted to duck out noticeably in the straight. And courtesy of the head-on replays that we've got on the Taz Racing website, you can see just how violently he did make that move, but it still didn't stop him from running, posting a terrific time. And the horses that finished second and third to him there, they head to Launceston this week. So both Letters and Barbara's Girl, have shown a capacity to handle ground with a bit of cut in it, as well as race well off the Topeda track. So coming out of that race last week, you'd have to think that would be awfully hard to beat in the 2100 Class 1, which starts the program for us on Sunday.
And Valiant Warrior is also going around that you've mentioned there. It's in the top weight in the Taz Bonus race over the 1200-metre journey.
Yeah, and we've actually found one off the video here that might give us a little bit of value, and that's down the bottom, Cool Kisses. I think Valiant Warrior, certainly takes that form from Devonport with him. He's going to be quite a short quote, and deservedly so, and probably going to control the race. If you're looking for something a little bit of each-way value to find with him, Cool Kisses covered ground last time and still finished well to run third in Hobart for Leon Lasky, and Kim Moore stays aboard. So I think there's one at a little bit of a price that you might be able to box up there with the favourite.
Okay, so that should give us a good start. Any other winners we can find on Sunday?
One of note coming out of the trials, as you know, something else we've got on the Taz Racing website is all our recent trial form and trial replays. And Ian Hay brought a three-year-old unraced horse by Tokay out of a Centaine Mary's, New Zealand bred, horse called Bitterford. He's the top weight in the second division of the 1200-metre maiden race three. He trialled down here in Hobart and won that just last week. He looks a nice progressive type, and being out of a Centaine Mary, you expect him to handle a bit of cut in the ground that we look like getting with Devon at Launceston this week. He's certainly one to watch in the colours of Izzy Baeva. He's a more illustrious stablemate.
And Sparkling Moon, a horse you put us onto a couple of weeks back, it's going around again. And a big field in that particular race, but it's got to be a good chance on its last start run.
Oh, most definitely. You know, he put up sectionals and the way he went about winning that race, may have been slightly inferior ground, he stuck to that. He was still able to run away and beat his opposition quite comprehensively. Yeah, he lines up in the Class 1 1400, but horses like Triple B, Elmate Alvin's run the other day behind Genuine Lad in the race. We've mentioned that the horses have gone to the 21 Maiden Class 1. Well, Elmate Alvin ran in that race as well, and his sectionals weren't too bad either. He broke 36 his last 600. So I think Sparkling Moon certainly rises in class. I think he'll certainly know that he's meeting some better opposition. But if you can bring that form from Hobart to a Launceston with him, he'll be more than competitive.
And the benchmark 78 handicap over the mile sees the return clash of Land $1 and Sundisk.
Yeah, well, I think Grey Gown gets into this race terrifically well, Shane. The 54 kilos, and as we mentioned last week when we were analysing the race meeting from Hobart, both Grey Gown and Van Diemen Fire, they put up sectionals on the day that which were almost the most superior of any horse at that meeting at Hobart. You know, they both break 38 on genuinely rain-affected ground. Even though he jumps from the 1,200 to the 16, you think if Land $1 is going to try and adopt similar tactics and put up some pretty solid sectionals mid-race, he could be the horse that, with no weight, that can get home over the top of them. So I think he might be a little bit of a blowout there. Even I'm not quite sure what quote he's going to be at. But as you say, if Sundisk and Land $1 look to dominate the betting, he could be the horse down on the minimum that troubles them late.
And Juju's Kling a little earlier in the day on its last start, second to Sparkling Moon, would have to come into calculations.
Yeah, he was first up the other day, did a lot of work out in front and stuck to his task really well. He's not the most pretty individual to look at, but he seems very, very honest. And I'm not quite sure if Anthony Darminan sticks with him, but I know that Peter Luttrell, he's pretty keen that this horse is not far off a win.
All right, Simon, thanks for your time again today. And just a reminder, Stride Master, race replays, and, of course, all the vision from the trials available on tasracing.com.au. That's the place to get the edge. We'll join you again next week.
Terrific. Thanks, Shane.
Nine races coming up on Sunday at Mowbray to tip us all the winners. It's Peter Staples. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane.
What's the confidence level like?
Well, look, you know, this far out, the weather's going to play a part. You know, I know we're tipping on Wednesday and we don't race till Sunday. A lot can happen with the weather between now and then. But a slow six, if the forecast is right, then we should probably just get about a slow six or a slow seven on race day and the form will hold up.
Carol, I'm sure you've done all the work for that. So race number six is the first leg of the quaddie. It's the Ted Cox Memorial. It's the class one over 1,400.
Well, as we know, it takes a good horse to win a maiden and go straight on to win a class one at its next start. And I'm tipping that Sparkling Moon, one of Royston Carr's, is in that mould. It's drawn barrier 15, drawn out where they sell the pies, but it's got plenty of early speed and hopefully Brendan McCool will be able to pilot it over and get a good spot. Its second up was second in Launceston, was a terrific run. It couldn't get out. It got off the fence the last bit. And Anthony Darman and tried valiantly to get it up, but Braver just flew down the outside and pipped it on the post. But in Hobart at its subsequent start, it was a terrific run. It came from a position where they hadn't been able to win from all day, but she certainly did. So I just think this three-year-old filly's got a really bright future, and I'm expecting her to win again. I thought the dangers in row six would be the Toppy Triple B. He won first up. Then he got in a little bit of strife at Devonport, but he'll go well. He's got a 3-kilo claim for Melissa Nichols, who rode her first winner last week, also drawn wide. Braver, that beat Sparkling Moon two starts back, and number three, our mate Alvin. I thought they was clearly the best four chances, 8, 1, 6 and 3.
Race number seven on the card is the Bill Dunstan Memorial. It's the benchmark 62 over a mile.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of thinking that we're going to wander down to the bottom of the page here with Chimed In. Winner in Launceston two starts back on the 25th of May. That was in a class one. And Chantal Willis rode it that day. Bullet Muku jumps on. I think it needs a strong rider and Chimed In. I just think it'll be potting up there just beyond midfield and we'll be able to come with a decent run. Going to be on the minimum with a 1.5-kilo claim for Muku. So with 54 kilos, I'm tipping that it might be able to get away with this benchmark 62. The hardest to beat, obviously, would be Father Ned, number three. He's been, you know, sort of in and out of form, but he's a good last start third, and he won four starts back. Grey Hype, very game third last time out, probably should have got a lot closer. And Mr. McCartney, who'll most likely lead this field over the 1600, and I think that's more of his distance. And he'll give them he'll give you a run for your money as well, number six, Mr. McCartney. But I do like 14 down the bottom, Chimed In, from 3, 5, and 6.
Race number 8, third leg of the quaddie, Land a Dollar going for 4 straight.
Yeah, it is, but I reckon you got one of the bets of the day in this race in Sundisk. So much, so should have won in Hobart last start when Land a Dollar beat it. Had Haley not got caught up with the reins and the mane and a few bits and pieces, and the horse did lay in a bit in the straight, in fairness to her. But Bullet Mook, who is a strong left-hand whip rider, and he will be able to give this every chance. And if it just takes its last form into this race, Sundisk, it will just win. I think it's the bet of the day. Land a Dollar will lead and will be hard to run down, but that's probably a nice Cronulla. Grey Gown, she's going to get back, as she always does, and she'll get home hard. And Settler's Joy, my mare, that I race with family and some friends. She's a chance. She's now with Johnny Blacker. She was originally with John, and she went to Troy, and when John went to Melbourne, and John's taken her back over, and she's been working pretty well. And change of environment might switch her back on, we're hoping. But Sundisk, clearly the bet of the day.
And then in the last race, it's the Benchmark 68 over the 1200. Luluka Bell first up from a spell.
Yeah, first up from a spell for Luluka Bell. It did trial at Devonport and trialled very well, let me tell you. It beat Revenging and Yellow Tag, and beat Revenging by 3.5 lengths and hardly moved on it. She is a very, very smart mare. Brendan McCool has always had a decent opinion of her. She won 3 out of 4 last season, and then they had to put her away, and she's resuming. And I think she went sore when something went wrong, and they had to give her a decent break. Anyway, she's back in business, and if she takes her trial form into the race, I think she'd be hard to beat. Over number 2, Tuk Toyak Tuk. 6, Sienna of Sydney, and 5, Land Star. 7, 2, 6, and 5 for me in the last leg of the quaddie in the last race of the day.
Any particular race that takes your fancy, Pete, or a best bet?
Well, look, in race 8, I think Sundisk. If you can wait till the second last race before you unload, just get on Sundisk. I think it is an absolute Monty.
And the Adam Trinder bandwagon just rolls on.
Well, look, he's in the stable's in great form. 4 winners last Sunday on his home track, and he even took Coup de Feeties to Hobart today and got him to win a race. So that's an incredible feat. And his stable's on fire. He's second on the premiership now behind the Bruntons, who'll win their 6th premiership clearly this year, this season. Adam's a progressive young trainer, and he's built the team up. He's got some very good clients based interstate that are sending horses to him. He's got good local clientele. He's going about his business well, and I'm sure that he will be a force to be reckoned with for many years.
Thanks for your thoughts today, Pete. And to check out all Peter's tips and get the edge on Tassie racing, just head to the tasracing.com.au website. We'll join you again next week, Pete.
They're set. Away they go.
Now on Tass Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Co-development manager for Harness Racing joins us now, Kevin Nielsen. How are you, Kev?
Yes, very well, thanks, Shane.
Well, it's been another great week for Tasmanian performances on the mainland.
Well, we spoke at length last week about the performances and the upcoming racing engagements for our Tasbred horses, and similar this week, kicked off on Saturday night at Albion Park, where Little Bit of Chicken Fried, who has already won 6 in Queensland this season, but has not won a Metropolitan-class race, but put that behind it on Saturday night, winning what they call a QO in Queensland now, worth $11,000. So a Little Bit of Chicken Fried now becomes the 18th Tasmanian horse in the last 2 years to win a Metropolitan class race on the mainland. So he's added his name to that illustrious list, which of course is headed by Bowtide and Barinya, but includes many others such as Our Chain of Command later on, Hugo Play, Better Draw, and plenty of others.
And Fred and Pauline Barker's Tasbred Pacers have been to the fore this week.
What a week for the likeable couple from Beaconsfield. Fred and Pauline Barker, Majorama, a late starter by Art Major out of Nellarama, a 5-year-old gelding now. I think he commenced racing only this season. Won at Geelong on Tuesday night at his second Victorian start, owned by the well-known Exeter Greyhound breeder and trainer Ted Howard. And I can remember back in my days in the sulky and training and driving, competing against Ted, So he certainly had a long career in both codes, and he owns Major Rama. Second Victorian start, won on Tuesday night at Geelong, and now got an overall record of 9 starts for 2 wins and 2 third placings. And Big Z, another Fred and Paul Hinbarker bred pacer, has been firing in Queensland at his last 3 starts, winning all of them, the latest being at Redcliffe on Thursday night. And it's now got an overall record of 10 wins, 14 placings and 48 starts for over $50,000 in stake money. And this one's got a bit of history about it, this next winner. In 2008, Fred and Pauline offered an Art Major Amarillin filly at the Tasmanian Premier Harness Yearling Sale. It was a sale topper at $23,000. Went to Robert Watson in Western Australia, named Pixel Perfect. Never raced, and from what we can gather, it was actually put in foal when it was 2 years of age. It's now 7 and has 4 foals on the ground. 2 are of racing age. The 3-year-old's already a winner, but the 2-year-old started at Meningle on Tuesday, and it goes by the name of Birdie Mac. What a debut. It's gone 153.8 in a 2-year-old race at Meningle first up with a last half of 55.7. So Fred goes right back to Stanley Rio when he was growing up. Of course, his father bred Stanley Rio, I think won the 1977 Inter-Dominion in Queensland. They later sold Stanley Rio, and Fred's had some top horses on the way through. Bred Villa Gem and, of course, the ill-fated Cody Maverick and many other very handy horses. Never had a big week with those three.
And Barinya's off to a flying start in the Vic Bred Super Series.
Couldn't have had a better start than last night, Shane. She settled third last from an inside the second line draw at Geelong in the first in a heat of the Vic Bred Super Sires for the 3-year-old fillies. Third last early, going off the back with a lap and a bit to go. Rowan led a stride. She got cover from one of the Emma Stewart fillies that went to the death in front of her. She then went to the death at the bell and simply too strong. Won comfortably by 3.5 metres. 158 and a bit, I think, the mile rate for 2100, and that was the fastest 2100 mile rate of the night. And, of course, the semi-finals of the $110,000 final will be held on the 27th of June, Friday, and 8 days later, Saturday the 5th of July, the finals.
Now, we all know the success of James Rattray in New South Wales over the last 12 to 18 months, but now his partner Sophie's getting in on the act.
She had a big day at Meningle yesterday too, Shane. She only had 2 drives and ended up with a double. One was for James, a horse by the name of Major Post, and a purest boy for Peter Rixton was also a winning drive for her. So she definitely showed her talent in the cart in Tasmania when she performed very well from limited drives, and she's carried on that form in New South Wales. She doesn't drive very often, but she's got a really good strike rate.
What about Tasmanian horses going around this week for us to keep an eye on?
Oh, plenty again. Tessin's O fronts up in a $25,000 M1 mares race at Melton on Friday night. Race 1 at 5:12. No luck at all at the second start in Victoria, so we can expect her to go better on Friday night. And one to keep a big eye on is Hugo Play. He returns to racing after being out for 4 months due to injury. Got to remember that during Christmas and New Year, he raced against some of the best in Victoria. He actually competed in an Inter-Dominion heat. He ran 5th, I think it was, in the SA Cup, only 5 metres. I think it was behind Smoking Up. And he was 3rd in one of the high-quality country cups in Victoria. He comes back to an M1, M2 on Friday night at Melton, so he's certainly worth following. And we go to Saturday night, Nola Mayhem. She's got the same path as Barinya, except, of course, she's in the 4-year-old mares section of the Vic Bred Super Sires. And she kicks off in a heat at Kilmore on Saturday night. Same semi-final and final schedule as Barinya, Friday the 27th for the semis and Saturday the 5th of July for the final for the 4-year-old mares.
And some big races on the local scene as well, with 10 races on the card in Hobart on Sunday.
Yeah, the 2-year-old Tasbreds are to the fore. We've got 2 heats of the Avicus and only a prelude of the Andy Patch, but it's a fascinating race. We've got the unbeaten Jerry's Jet and the highly promising Boassen Hagen. And Boassen Hagen, you only have to look at the replays on Taz Racing to see how unlucky Boassen Hagen was not to win the sweepstakes final. Now, no one could deny Jerry's Jet the win. It was a super run by Jerry's Jet. But with any luck in the last 30, Boassen Hagen would have beaten him. Those two clash in a prelude on Sunday night, so that should be a highlight of that card.
And also another program coming up at Devonport on Monday.
Yeah, seven good races on Sky, one at Devonport. Good sized fields there, so more harness action over the weekend at Devonport.
And the 2014 Harness Awards and Hall of Fame dinner, what's the latest?
Yeah, massive night, Shane. Saturday night, the 13th of September, and just some interesting facts I came across while doing some research for that big night. We've now compiled a list of those drivers in Tasmania who have driven 500 or more winners. And we'll certainly use this list now to build up towards Gareth Rattray's 1,000th and also Ricky Duggan passing Neville Webley. But in order they are. Barry Rattray's driven 1,557, Neville Webley 1,369, Rick Duggan's about 80 behind him. He's driven 1,281, Daryl Alexander 1,045, and I think Daryl got about 700 of those when driving winners in Queensland for Russ Hinds and also later training for himself. Just behind Daryl, we've got Gareth Rattray on 929. Going down the list in order then, through to those that have driven 500, you've got Scott Ford, Jack Stanford, Rowan Hadley, Don Peck, Mark Stanley, Terry Knowles, Tony Peterson, the great Lynn Moriarty, Terry Peck, Kenny Austin's driven 550, Webb Jones and also Heck Baker. So it's a very interesting list we've been able to come up with, and we'll certainly use that into the future, Shane.
Certainly some great names there, and of course the Halwes medal up for grabs again this year.
Yes, it certainly is, and Gareth Rattray's won both Halwes medals, and with his performances so far this season when he's well in front in the Drivers' Premiership, and this year we'll make it 9 driving premierships in a row. Now, he's only 28 at the moment. He will be 29 by the end of the season, but what a phenomenal effort by that class reinsman.
He could go right to the top and knock his father off, who's up there on 1,557, so he's got about 600 to go. I'm sure that's well within
Gareth.
I'm sure that's well within his in his grasp.
Knowing Gareth, he'd be eyeing that right off, I'd say.
I'm sure he would. Thanks for your time again this week, Kev.
My pleasure, Shane.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Time to find some winners in harness racing on Taz Racing Talk. And the man who's absolutely electric at the moment and on fire is Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad, Shane. How about yourself, buddy?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Knocked up tipping winners last week for us.
Oh, I think we've got a couple there, mate.
And I think you might have owned 3 winners yourself, so congratulations to you and also to Barry Cooper on that. And 4 winners, of course, to champion reinsman Ricky Duggan. Now, we've got a 10-event card coming up on Sunday night in Hobart. It's the Dandy Patch Prelude night and also the Heats of the Vicus. And those races are on late in the night. So let's have a look at the quaddie first of all. And the first is for the C2 and C3 for the Mears, race number 5.
Yeah, well, in the first leg of the quaddy, it's a very tough race, actually, mate. It looked to be 5 main chances, numbers 3, 9, 10, 11 and 12. I've just been impressed by them around a blue chip Harry of late, Shane. He hasn't had the best of luck, and he draws to follow through nicely here, so he looks a very good each way bet. Franco Silster, battled away last week, you know, sitting parked and just battled, but I think he might be able to find the lead tonight. So if he gets onto the pegs, as we said in Launceston a couple of weeks ago, he ran him along very well and only got run down late by a couple of handy tops. So if he leads, he'll take plenty of running down. And then you got out the back. Gosh, he's a rebel. In second the other week behind Lucky Dave, which was a good run. So he's got an each-way chance at odds, as has been a move as well, mate.
The second leg, we've got Pasha Cutie absolutely flying at the moment. Our chain of command always capable of a surprise, no doubt. And you do it. Well, it galloped out last week and seemed to lose all chance, but still managed to run third. So it's a good race.
Yeah, it's a very good race. But like, Pasha Cutie is the star on the rise, but he was lucky to get up on Sunday night, mate. You know, I thought, remember, Joe pinched it around the corner when he shot 15 metres clear, but Pasha Cutie's class got into the line. He's well drawn. He should be able to work the lead and dictate the race from there, mate. So it's going to be hard to see him run down. But our chain of command has been freshened up for this race. He's well suited here. He just needs a bit of luck in the run and be close enough to Pasha Cutie. And if he does get well close enough, he's got a rough chance of knocking him off. But you do it. He lost a conservative 40 metres in that race that Pasha Cutie won. And he hit the line as strong as anything, beating about 10, 12 metres. So if he puts it all together, you do it. He's very, more than capable on his night, but I'm happy to go with Patrick Curdy from Chain of Command and you do it, mate.
Race number 7 on the card. Well, you've just mentioned the form of Remember Joe. Great effort to run second behind Patrick Curdy, and Mellow Lynn's on the second line on its lonesome, so it's going to be an interesting race, race number 7.
Yeah, well, Mellow Lynn's probably hasn't had a run for a month, so there's probably been a couple of little issues there, so It's a little bit of a query room, but from the back row draw, he gets a perfect run through, and at his best, he should be too classy for him. But remember, Joe, like I said, his run was enormous last week. Just the draw tonight's going to be a concern, whether they go forward or back. So they go forward, there looks a lot of speed inside him, so he may be trapped wide. So just a little bit of a query along there. But there's a couple of other handy types in the race as well that have got each way chances. But happy to go with Milo Ling, just on the class, just from Remember Joe and Reich, I believe, and the majority got hopes numbers 2 and 4 as well, mate.
Race number 8, final leg of the quaddie, heat number 1 of the Avicus for the 2-year-old fillies.
Fuazia, he's very nice. I've had the colours lulled for the first time last Sunday night by Andy Philly and Follow the Wind. Drawn 3 tonight, she should be able to work to the breeze or even the lead. If she works to the lead, I think she's more or less a good thing on the night. Safety Girl, ran 3rd in that race I just mentioned. Took a bit of ground off Fuazia up the straight, so a lot's going to rely on how close Safety Girl is to Fuazia in the run, and if there is a horse to knock it off, well, Safety Girl's the one. Horses laugh your head off, battled away well in that race before, after doing plenty of work in the run early. Got beat a long way, but he's clear 3rd pick in this race from numbers 1, 2 and 5, so happy to go 3 Fuazia from 4 Safety Girl, 6 laugh your head off from 1, 2 and 5, quite out of 4th place in
the way. Now the second heat is race number 10, and we've got Joker's Wild Card coming up with the inside draw.
Yeah, he's drawn well again, Joker's Wild Card. She's had 3 runs from 3 very good draws. Certain leader, she's going to lead. She's going to take plenty of running down, as she ran 2nd in the sweepstakes about a month ago behind Fuazio and led. But she had every chance on that occasion. But the horse that caught me eye in the sweepstakes was Grace Campbell. She's in this race as well, number 7. Drawn the top of the track, but she proved in the heat she can do a bit of work in the run, sitting 3 wide for the last lap. Jake's Wild Card is going to be probably odds on. Grace Campbell's $354. So I'm happy to lean towards Grace Campbell in this race, to be honest, to beat Joker's Wild Card and numbers 3, 4 and 5 to battle out 3rd place, mate.
The Dandy Patch Prelude is race number 9 on the card. Jerry's Jet, can he stay unbeaten?
Yeah, I think he can, mate. He trialled the overnight, trialled brilliantly, to be honest, on Monday night. So Paul Hill's done a remarkable job to get him, freshen him up and get him on track again for this series. He's drawn inside his main danger, which is Boaz and Hagen, whereas I've got a bit of a rap on as a horse, but just sitting outside Jerry's Jet, I don't think he's capable of doing that just at this stage. So Jerry's Jet should be able to work the breeze, find the lead, and be too strong for Boaz and Hagen. Blackjack Hanover, he ran really well when he broke through at Launceston a couple of weeks ago, finishing off in a quarter of 27.6. So he's proven that he can run a quick quarter, and if he just sat him behind and they ran along, they got a little bit of a wall. Not saying he can win, but he might get close. But happy to go 6 Jerry's Jet from 7 Boas and Hagen and 2 Blackjack Hanover, mate.
Any particular race jumps out and hits you as where we can make some money?
Probably the 2 filly seats of the Epicus, mate. I'm really keen on Fuazia, so I'm quite happy to go a 1st 4. Fuazia to win from Safety Girl to run 2nd with numbers 1, 2, 5 and 6 to 3rd and 4. $30 flexi cost you get you 250%. And we'll go 3 to win from 1, 2, 5, 6 to 2nd, 4 for 3rd, 1, 2, 5, 6 for 4th. $24 will give you 200%, mate. Also got a trifecta there, mate. 3 to win, 4 for 2nd, 1, 2 and 5, 6 for 3rd. $20 will give you 500%. And 3 to win, 1, 2, 5, 6 for 2nd, 4 for 3rd. $16 will give you 400%. And we'll also go into the other one. Really like Grace Campbell in the last race. I really honestly do. So we'll go a trifecta. 7 to win, to beat the hot favourite, Joker's Wildcard number 1. 3, 4 and 5 for 3rd. $30 flexi trifecta gives you 1,000%. Then we'll go 7 to win, 3, 4 and 5 for 2nd, 1 for 3rd, $15 will give us 500%. We'll do the same in the 1st 4s, mate. 7 to win, 1 for 2nd, 3, 4 and 5, 3rd and 4, $27 flexi will give you 300%. And 7 to win, 3, 4, 5 for 2nd, 1 for 3rd, 3, 4, 5 for 4th, $18 flexi will give us 200%, mate. Also a quaddie. It's going to be pretty thin, actually, the quaddie. First leg, we just go 3, 9, 10, 11, 12. Second leg, just patch a cootie one out. Third leg, we'll go 2, 4, 6, and 8. last week, we'll just go 3-1 out for Asia. So $40 fixture could be 200%. You'll also have another one with just Mellow in the third leg, and that, you know, $10 one with that will give you 200% as well. Just take a Mellow in one out, mate.
Okay, so 10 races on the card in Hobart on Sunday night. For all Jamie's tips for all races and a top analysis of every race in Tasmanian harness racing, just go to the tasracing.com.au website and you'll find Jamie's tips there for all the events coming up for the weekend. Thanks for your time again today, Jamie.
Thank you very much, Shane.
Set now, racing.
Now on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
Greg Fay joins us now on Taz Racing Talk to look at the week that was in greyhound racing and also find us a coming winner. How are you, Greg?
I'm good, thanks, Shane.
Well, speaking of a person who's absolutely on fire at the moment, Brendan Purcell with three winners, the Despicable Group, Matt, Ben, and your tip for us to follow last week, Despicable Lee scoring at 990.
Yeah, she was very impressive too in the juvenile heat of the Owners and Trainers Series. She jumped straight to the front. 26-28, very good sections. Looks like a really promising dog. I didn't think she'd meet that good a field when I set her as a dog to follow, but she put them away anyway. And then he followed up with Despicable Matt, which was pretty impressive. He just won in a photo from Great Taylors, which was probably a certainty beaten because he got shunted wide. But Despicable Matt got the job done, and the other one was much more impressive, Despicable Ben. He beat another very good dog in top line power by six lengths and ran 26.06. And he nearly got four because Alana was a pretty good second in her race. So Brendan's keeping it going, isn't he?
He certainly is. And we saw another newcomer to the game, a 13 black Icy Popsicle runner. This is very interesting bloodlines, this one, Greg, because 13 black, unfortunately, before he broke down, he was absolutely flying over the distance events, and Icy Popsicle was a real speedster.
Yeah, well, Icy Popsicle held the... we're talking about How's That Grace, aren't we, in race two, of Neville Allison, owned by Carlene Cuthbertson. First starter, got back, came home over the top of them in 26.31, looked very good. As you said, 13 Black was a brilliant all-distance dog. Icy Popsicle was a track record holder over the shorts at Launceston, and looks like the mating has produced a very good litter for Neville Allison and Carlene.
And How's That Grace breaking through for its debut performance there? And Bruni Venture was another winner. That was its first win in five starts.
Yeah, he's a very promising pup, trained by Gary Fay for the Island Syndicate. He jumped pretty much to the front and ran the quickest of those three heats in 26.15, and looks to be a dog with a big future.
And Hannah Bowden, this is greyhounds in great form for Gaylene Townsend.
Yeah, Hannah Bowden and That Was Then, the two sisters that she's taken over. They look identical. They're both white and red form bitches. And very impressive, took advantage of box one. The sister ran third in the same race. There were a few hard luck stories in that, but by gee, they're racing well, those two bitches.
Launceston on Monday night, Dominic's Dove, super effort to run down the favourite Painted Dotty in the very last stride over the 720.
Yes, it was a great run. Painted Dotty jumped to the front and ran blistering sections and very good overall time of 42.73, and that's what she ran, but she was a nose behind Dominic's Dove. It's hard to believe that was Dominic's Dove's first win. A couple of people have had a go with her. She's been a fast dog all along, but never done it in a race. And Clinton Tapp, young trainer, new to the game, taken hold of her. And look, she fell heavily at Hobart last week in a 590. He obviously had a spot on for Monday night because she began the best she's ever begun, settled up second, which she never does, always settles near the rear. And right on the line... you know, she just nailed Painted Dotty. The only stride she was in front was the last one.
And Kinloch's Fury was rewarded for her consistency.
Yes, it's a very promising litter, the Kinloch Fury litter, and she won very nicely in a slick 30-12, beating a top dog in Revelator.
And the informed greyhounds Callaway, Ernie, and Her Highness continued on their winning ways.
Yes, Callaway Ernie's just turned into a real star, hasn't he? Come off box eight. It was amazing how he got to the fence on the first turn because he looked like he was going to be shunted wide, but he just cut in behind, then railed up, raced away, beat some very good dogs out of sight. Very, very good dog. And Her Highness, she beat a very plain field, but by gee, she beat them by a long way and also ran 29.90.
Yeah, great performance there. And Steele, respected odds in the last, and a good performance for Ian Callanan.
Yeah, look, it was a roughhouse race, the last, and Big Callan's been a bit out of luck lately. He's had a bit of bad luck with some of his better dogs. She looked like she was going to lead to the first turn. Then she got shunted out of it. Looked like she was gone. And then Cut 'Em Down was a long way in front down the back, and he sort of gave up late and still came over the top. Very deserved win.
Devonport on Tuesday. It was a winning double for Steve Hutt with the Nitro Greyhounds.
Yes. Look, he had three dogs in the previous week, and they all got into massive trouble. Must have been wondering, you know, what he did to deserve that, and takes them back 1 week later, and all sweet, because King Nitro had box eight, led nearly all of the way. It was pretty impressive, actually, running 25.82. And Red Nitro, he had to do it a little bit harder. He had a battle for the lead in his race, but he got the job done as well.
And our old mate, Buckle Up Fletch, second win for the week.
Yes, he's a very smart dog, and he had to beat Silly Lucy. Anyone who watched the replay of that race, gee, she's a big-hearted bitch, Silly Lucy. It's no wonder she won the Oaks. She was just moving into it halfway and got absolutely smashed back to sixth. And to get up and run second was great. But take nothing away from the winner, Buckle Up Fletch. He's a high-class young dog, and he ran a brilliant 25.66.
We mentioned last week Richard Hall doing a wonderful job with Pioneer Mogul. Well, he may well have taken it to yet another level.
A brilliant win, because he beat Glitzy Bling and Golden Sage. Both dogs have won in very fast time lately. He had to come wide and work all of the way, and he hit the line, you know, a length and a quarter in front of two very promising dogs running 25.77. He's destined for top grade.
And Doug Cassidy back in the winner's list with Crystal Innes.
Look, Doug's never raced very many dogs at one time. We remember he's had some terrific dogs, including the Grounded Year a few years ago, Riddler Jake. Well, Crystal Innes hadn't raced for several months. He produces the first up at Devonport. Come out of an average box, led all the way and ran 25.91. He's a pretty good hand with the dog, isn't he, Doug?
It certainly is. Have you got a greyhound for us to follow?
Yes, a first starter from last Thursday night that ran second to Bruni Venture called Eyes on Destruction. If you have a look at the spelling of the name, it's pretty cleverly named, actually. One of Robert Goulet's jumped level with Bruni Venture, and they had a bit of a bump, and then she chased him all the way home. I don't know if she can win the final on Thursday night, because that's a terrific field, but she won't be long winning because she's got good habits.
All right, Eyes on Destruction, the one to follow for this week. Thanks for your time again today, Greg.
Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk with Shane Yates.
Time to find some more winners now on our Greyhound segment. The man that's going to steer us in the right direction, Rick Puccinelli. How are you, Rick?
Well, Shane.
Big program coming up in Hobart. The first leg of the quaddie is race 5. It's over the 5.99.
Shane, I come up with number 2, Mumford Sun. He was third last week behind Real Caution. On face value, he may look a shade disappointing, but I just think Anthony Bullock's now got him over these 5.99s and the 600-metre races, and I see he's running up at Devonport next Tuesday. Just think he's grinding away now, and I just think the 5.99's right up his alley. I put him on top. His kennel mate will be thereabouts, Gemstone Jack. He's always thereabouts. He always runs an honest race. Put him in for second. Actually, and another kennel mate in for third, so I'm going for an Anthony Bullock trifecta in Blinking Becky. And I put in number 7, Dark Gladiator. Has got a very good win here in 34.54 over this trip. Look, it was spotted last week running home very well behind Senor Slammer. It could be the KO dog. 2, 5, 6, and 7.
Race number 6 is the grade 4.
Shane, I went with number 6, Spring Fall, and I can't find a lot of depth in this race, and I think she'll probably go around pretty short price favourite and probably entitled to do so. She's dropping back. She's been racing Silly Lucy and Senor Slammer. Look, I just think a drop back in class. Think she'll be very hard to beat. 5 for second, Wee Fire. Looks the likely leader, and if it does run, if it happens to ping to the leader, it will run a very cheeky race. Put Wee Fire number 5 in for second. A dog that's got very ordinary form, number 1, off and running, got some chance from the draw, will appreciate the inside draw. And I put in number 3, Bailey's Comment. Thought its run in at Launceston on Monday night was very good. Always grinds home with thereabouts. 6, 5, 1, and 3.
And we've got the Division 1 final of the TGO TBA series.
Yeah, Shane, the key to this race is number 6, Varco. Like, his last run he got injured and got 10 days for an injury. Look, Debbie Cannon wouldn't produce him if he wasn't ready. He hasn't raced for 5 weeks, and I can't see that being a problem. The only little concern I've got is that it's got a very good beginner on its outside in Flash Innings. So the start's very, very important for Varco, but in saying that, Varco can jump in front and win this race too. 2, Club Foot in for second, always thereabouts. Brennan Purcell's doing a great job with his kennel. trained three winners last week, or last Thursday night. Got a very good chance. Seven flash innings for the reasons I mentioned, that it might be one of the leaders. It's got a chance. And five, Barnes Bay. 6, 2, 7, and 5.
And in the last leg, the Division 2 final, Brendan Purcell's got a very strong hand.
Yeah, Shane, I think he'll be very, very hard to beat with a dog called Despicable Ben. A little whisper from the grapevine tells me that he thinks it's one of the best dogs he's ever trained. And if that's the case, he's going to live up to big raps, Despicable Ben. He's a nice dog. He runs around the low 26s. He should be winning. 3, Senor Slammer. Just forget he went round on Monday night at Launceston. He got trapped wide at the first turn. Got a couple of checks. Was never in the race. Thought his win running 26-20, beating Designer Rush, was full of merit. Put him in for second. Put in number 5, Real Caution, for third. Thought its win beating Winkley Tam was very, very good. Went 26-13. It'll be thereabouts. Number 2, Dirty Rich. Liked him last week. He got the chocolates. Thought he had some chance in this race. 1, 3, 5, and 2.
That makes the quaddie in the first leg 2, 5, 6, 7. In the second leg, it's 6, 5, 1, and 3. Third leg, 6, 2, 7, 5. Last leg, 1, 3, 5, and 2. Where's your best for Hobart?
Shane, I have to wait till the last race. I'm going with a dog called Golden Sage, number 6. Look, he may well be around the $2.50, $3 mark, and I just thought his run on Tuesday was very good. He got held up turning for home. He desperately wants the fence. Butch Deverell, the master trainer that we know he is, he'll bounce him back from his Tuesday run to run on Thursday night. Race 11, number 6, Golden Sage.
Launceston on Monday night. First leg of the quaddie is race 5. Wild Cindy not far off another win.
No, she's in the mix, Shana. I've gone with number 3, Top Line Power. Look, his run last week in Hobart behind Despicable Ben was very, very good. He's a desperate railer. Come up with box 3, Mickey Stringer. There's a lot of pluses with this greyhound. I put him on top. 7, Wild Cindy's clearly the second pick in the race for me. She's been storming home of late. Her run in Hobart recently in the invitation behind Hannah Bowden was very, very good. And prior to that, she ran a couple of very good runs in Hobart, up in Launceston. I put her in for 2nd, Wild Cindy. 1, Waratah Boy will appreciate the 600 and box 1. And number 8, Callaway Krusty. Got a chance from the draw. He will be working home well. 3, 7, 1, and 8.
In the second leg, we've got Hell Yeah Bolt coming off a last start Melbourne win, returning to Tassie.
I can't see why he just won't zoom to the lead and just win, Shane. He's a very, very exciting dog. As you said, he's win at Sandown on the 15th to the 5th. He's had a month freshen up. Anthony Bullock wouldn't put him in if he wasn't right. Clearly on top. Think he'll start short. Number 1, Real Caution, in for 2nd. Got a super draw. 26-13 winner beating Winkley Tam. Got an outstanding chance from the draw. Put in number 6, She's All Class, for 3rd. Didn't mind a runner in Devonport. She had no luck. She was trapped wide. She never got into the race. She is a very, very good dog on a very, very good bitch on a day. I think she's 3rd pick. And I put in number 7, Glitzy Bling. Thought its run at Devonport was quite good behind Pioneer Mogul. Put in for 4th. 3, 1, 6, and 7.
In the third leg, Mini Mogul and Oscar Ralph coming off very similar form at their last outings.
Yeah, Shane, Mini Mogul looks the likely leader, and for the reason I've gone with it on top. It's broken the 32nd barrier at Launceston, and if it happens to jump in front and runs 30 seconds, I think it'll be winning this race. I do think Oscar Ralph's its main danger. Its last run behind Pioneer Mogul was very, very good. Thought it had a very good chance. 8-point made. Now, it raced at Devonport on Tuesday and was never in the race until the last 50 metres, then was spotted cruising up the fence and ran fourth. Thought its run was A-OK. Thought it had a chance. And I put in number 4, Helinski. Now, its last run was 5th in the Derby behind Callaway Ernie. He does use a little bit of the track. He can be a bit tardy sometimes, but when he does ping the lint, he's always up near the lead. Thought he had a chance. 2, 3, 8, and 4.
In the last leg, Super Bowl comes up with a centre draw in box 4.
Yeah, Shane, she's in my mix. I went with a dog that had no luck last week in Shantytown Lad. He had box 2. He tried to burrow through and try and get to the lead, and he failed. He then crossed wide, was never in the race. He officially ran 6th. I just forget that run. 3, High Caution. He's coming off a couple of runs in Hobart where he's been running respectable. Thought he was 2nd pick. Super Bowl. He's the 30-42 winner here on the track, but that's not a true indication on how quick it should have gone if it had a clear run. Put it in for 3rd, and I put in Snoring Nora. but they didn't mind its run behind Renewable Energy. They did break the 30-second barrier in that race, and she recorded her own personal time of 30.02, so she'll be in the mix. 7, 3, 4, and 2.
Rich Quaddiford for Launceston in the first leg, 3.718, in the second leg, 3.167, third leg, 2.384, last leg, 7, 3, 4, and 2. Where should we put our hard-earned for a special?
Shane, this will be short. This will be sweet. It'll be a very, very easy watch, and it'll be an easy kill for the punters that like taking the $1.30 and the $1.40. Race 4, number 1, Ireland's Force.
Captain Courageous there. Then we head to Devonport on Tuesday. The first leg, well, it looks a tough race on paper.
Yeah, Shane, it is. I went with the likely leader, Kimmy Ross, number 2. Put it on top. Top Line Tornado I put in as my second pick, number 6. My third pick, number 7, Moonlight Bell. And I put in number 1, Double Chance. I'll improve with the draw. 2, 6, 7, and 1.
In the second leg, we've got Dominator Girl going pretty well in box number 4.
Yeah, Shane, I've actually put her in as my second pick. I went with number 1 and that. Had a kennel change in recent months, and I just think from the draw, come up with box 1, Desperate Railer, got a good chance and that. 4, Dominator Girl for second. 5, Pioneer Moguls, absolutely flying at the moment for third. And I put in Nui's Lad. Now, he missed the start last time over the 278, and you can't afford to do that. Now, he just could be the one that might just spear straight to the lead. 1, 4, 5, and 6.
In the third leg, Crystal Innings, a good win last week. Can it go back to back?
Yeah, I've put it in as my second pick. I went with number 1, Tez Boro. I just think from box 1, he might zoom to the lead. He has broke the 26-second barrier at Devonport, Tez Boro. And I just think Robert Goulet will have him tuned for this run. 1 on top, 4 Crystal Innings. Good run last week and will only improve with the fitness run under its belt. 3, Honest to Rod, was a very impressive winner over the 278 at Launceston recently. And I put in number 5, Blue Fireball. He's also coming off a win at Launceston 2 runs ago, and I didn't mind his run at Devonport last week. 1, 4, 3, and 5.
And in the last leg, Like a Comet coming off a last start race where it was sent out the favourite. Can it bounce back?
I think it can, Shane. Again, I can't find a lot of depth in this race, and I think it might posse up and be very, very hard to beat. Steelo's Magic 4 runs ago, won on this track, breaking the 26-second barrier, got a chance. 1, Why Fail, Jed Mace has come up with box 1, got a chance. And I also put in number 8, Renewable Energy. Led all the way at Launceston at its last start. It's got box 8, can't see why it won't run a very forward race here. 3, 2, 1, and 8.
So the quaddie for Devonport, the first leg, 2, 6, 7, 1. The second leg, 1, 4, 5, 6. Third leg, 1, 4, 3, 5. Last leg, 3, 2, 1, and 8. Just looking back at your best bets, Hobart, race 11, number 6, Golden Sage, likely to start short. Race 4, number 1 in Launceston, Island's Force, likely to start short. You got something for a bit of value here, Rick.
No value here, Shane. This is a very, very handy greyhound. I think this is just a put-in, take-out job. Race 11, number 4, Silly Lucy. Last week was unbelievable run, running second. Good thing beat. Just think it'll win. Race 11, number 4, Silly Lucy.
So you're taking the Coward's Way out?
Yes.
So the quaddie in the first leg, 2, 6, 7, 1. Second leg, 1, 4, 5, 6. Third leg, 1, 4, 3, 5. Last leg, 3, 2, 1, 8. The best. Race 11, number 4, Silly Lucy. Certainly beat last week. Thanks for your time again today, Rick.
Thanks, Shane.
That's just about it for another edition of Taz Racing Talk. But before we go, your chance to win the ultimate punter's experience in Tassie. The prize includes airfares, accommodation, car hire, dining at tracks around the state, plus tips from your trip host. It's all thanks to Taz Racing and our accommodation partners, Rest Point Hobart and Country Club Villas. Now, what you need to do is go to tazracing.com.au, click on the Taz Racing Talk icon, register and answer this question. How many winners did Adam Trinder train on Sunday at Devonport? How many winners did Adam Trinder train on Sunday at Devonport? Just register and answer that question and you could be in the running for the ultimate punter's experience in Tassie. Just remember, it's easier to get the edge on Tassie racing with tazracing.com.au. Look forward to your company again next week.
Taz Racing Talk, live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone. And later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tazracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.